two ears are better than one. Or what it means to listen to the voice of the Lord in a marriage. Luke chapter 1, notice in verse 18 when the angel Gabriel promised Zacharias and Elizabeth a son in their old age. In verse 18, Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, who sent to speak to you, or who was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Let's have a word of prayer, and then I thought we could get into our Bible study. Sound good? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Thank you for Bungie and Brenda and their generosity in allowing us all to gather and to be blessed, Lord, by the food and the fellowship and the teaching and the worship, Lord. And now, as we come to this last session, Lord, our hope is that there's more that we can glean from your word, God. And so, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit, and you would give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear of all that you have for us today from your word, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, how many of you like to hear awkward stories? Raise your hand up. Do you tell awkward stories around the table like our family does? We love awkward stories, and no one's more awkward than our daughter, Jenna.
Who knows Jenna? Okay, you got it, right?
Right?
Okay.
Jenna's awkward.
But darling. Darling.
And so it wasn't long ago that she got a job at Saltgrass Steakhouse as a server when a large group of teenagers came in to celebrate a young girl's 18th birthday. Now, how many of you know what a yarmulke is? Those caps that a Jewish man wears? A yarmulke. So the servers gathered around this table where all these teenagers were, and here's the young girl. It's her birthday, and Jenna leans over and says, "What's your name?" Talk about listening to the voice of God and how sometimes we don't necessarily hear correctly, often in our walk with God, you know what I mean? And so the young girl said, "Well, my name's Yarmulke." And Jenna said, "Well, okay, Yarmulke, let's sing you happy birthday." And so they begin singing happy birthday, and so the last part of the song is building up, and Jenna, who has done worship and has sung all of her life, does a big vocal at the end, and she sings, "Happy birthday, dear Yarmulke. Happy birthday to you." And the birthday girl turns to the girl next to her and goes, "She just called me Yarmulke. My name's Mika, you know." And well, the way Jenna tells it is so cute. But she's got a load of stories, and if she was here today, she'd have you rolling. And if something awkward's going to happen, it's going to happen to Jenna. Anyway, Lori and I were sitting around talking about the whole issue about hearing the voice of the Lord. So our talk today isn't as much about communication within a marriage as it is a married couple that are believers hearing the voice of the Lord. Does that make sense? And so notice the subject, learning to listen to the voice of the Lord. We'd like to introduce you to a married couple that we find in our text. Their names are Zach and Beth. It's been said that in the first year of marriage, the man speaks and the woman listens. Amen, Joe? How's that working for you?
And here we go. It's all started.
In the second year of marriage, the woman speaks and the man listens. Amen, ladies? You with us? In the third year, they both speak and the neighbors listen. Our question for you today is this. What about when God speaks? Is anyone listening at all? Think about it for a minute. In Luke chapter 1, we read about a man named Zacharias and his wife, Elizabeth.
Oh, whoops. Both lived a very righteous kind of life. They served the Lord, and they walked and they obeyed the Scriptures. Both were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they experienced the presence of the Lord in their marriage. Both loved the Lord. And I just wanted to stop because Bob doesn't know I'm going to share this. But we've had a change in our marriage. I've gotten up here every year and told you that my husband gets up every morning and brings me a cup of coffee and we do our devotion. Raise your hand if you remember me sharing that, because I'm half dead in the morning. But we've had a change. I have a bad back, and so we needed to buy a new mattress. So we bought this incredible mattress that's like 2 billion coils. And I sleep really good, so I get up early in the morning now. Bob does not get out of bed. So now I have to crawl downstairs, get the coffee, and I bring it up to him now. Truth, Bob? True? Come on.
Pride goeth before
okay.
A fall.
Anyway, my
the
point in this.
Before destruction.
My point in this is, you know what? We're still doing our devotions in the morning together. We're still reading God's Word. And right now, you know, we were into devotionals, but now we're just kind of reading straight through the Bible. We're in 2 Corinthians mm-hmm. right now. But one of the things that Bungie and Brenda brought up last year, and I loved what Bungie said, was that one of the things he loved so much about Brenda was her own private devotional life with the Lord. And I just want to make a note here. It's so important for us to read God's Word together and to pray together, but it's also important that you have this individual walk with Jesus Christ and that you are building on your walk with the Lord as well. They both need to go together. So this couple, they lived a very righteous kind of life. They served the Lord and they obeyed the Scriptures.
Both were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Both were experienced in knowing what it meant to enjoy the presence of the Lord in their marriage. Both loved the Lord very much, we read in God's Word. We find Elizabeth's husband in the temple. It says that he was burning incense one day while all the people stood outside the temple. They were praying at the hour of incense. You could imagine how excited Zacharias was on this day. He left for work. He commuted into Jerusalem. This was the biggest day of his career. When the lots were drawn, his lot was taken. It was his turn to burn incense before the Lord God Almighty. The height of his career, he had been chosen. I could imagine them discussing the day before he left. I could imagine Elizabeth saying, "Honey, what you got going at work today? Anything special?" "Ah, not much. Going to be burning a little incense before the Lord God Almighty. And, you know, the Lord God of all heaven and earth." You know. But I could just imagine him commuting into Jerusalem, the excitement of the city, everyone's gathering around Herod's temple, everyone with an expectation. God was going to answer the prayers of their nation as this priest would go in and offer the sacrifice. The lamb has been offered. The coals on the altar were taken. The incense was added on top of the coals. Zacharias would then go in swinging this incense burner before the altar of incense, a sweet-smelling aroma before the Lord. Sort of like walking in a Salt Lick barbecue and just catching that. Well, you get it from the parking lot, but walking in and just smelling that brisket, you know. Ascending up to the Lord, a beautiful symbol of the prayers of a nation reaching a God who hears prayers. in this glorious, in this divine, in this special moment for Zacharias, God answered his prayers, not only for the people outside, but God heard the prayers of Zacharias and Elizabeth. For an archangel appeared to Zacharias as he stood on the right side of the altar. Now, from this passage in Luke, we'd like you to notice three principles about hearing the voice of the Lord in your marriage. Number one, if you're taking notes, hearing the voice of the Lord as a couple begins with prayer at home. Let me say that again. Hearing the voice of the Lord as a couple begins with prayer at home.
We are told, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." When the mighty angel showed himself to the priest, Zach was overcome. It could be that Gabriel appeared in all of his glory, or maybe he had his flaming sword drawn. We read that Zacharias was troubled and overcome with fear. Fear is often a precursor to doubting, amen? Doubt sees the obstacles, but faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, but faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, "Who believes?" Faith answers, "It is I." On a personal note, you know, as a couple for Bob and I, my angst, my Achilles heel, is fear. His strength is faith. But through the years, I've learned some really valuable tools in my life. And I liken it to a fireman going into a classroom with a bunch of little kids, and he's telling them, or she's telling them, what to do in case there's a fire in their home. And they'll say, "You need to stop, you need to drop, and you need to roll." What I've learned with my angst of fear, when fear comes, when doubt comes, that I stop and I drop and I pray. Or I stop and I drop and I read God's word. Or I stop and I drop and I praise. I did that last night. I was just laying in bed and I just put my earbuds in and I just wanted to hear worship music, to praise the Lord. When doubt or fear comes, those are key principles to cling to. I want us to notice that all the promises, and you will have to forgive me because I'm going to show you this. I highlighted in this dark blue where I'm to read, and I can't even read it. So, we are to notice all of the promises, all the wonderful words that were told to Zacharias. But you know what? He chose to doubt the angel's message. Now, watch this. "And you will have joy and gladness." This is what the angel tells him. "And many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and in the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." This is our prayer for our children and for our grandson. How about you guys? Isn't that the prayer of your hearts? That they would serve the Lord all the days of their life.
Amen. That they be filled with the Spirit that God would lead them. Our prayer for our kids and grandson every day is that God would put their feet on the path of His will every day. Parents, don't you pray that for your kids? Lord, get them where they need to be. Watch over them, Lord. Put a hedge of protection around them. And so, by faith, we're embracing God's promises for our kids. And learning to listen to the voice of the Lord begins at home with prayer. It begins at home with the Word of God. The Bible says that faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing, and hearing by the
Word of God.
Word of God. And so, a lot of times, that question comes, well, how do you listen to the voice of God? What are you talking about when you say, God's talking to you, or you heard the voice of the Lord, or the Lord led me to do this or that? Well, most of the time, I don't know how it is for you, but 99% of the time, the way that the Lord speaks to me is through His Word. Now, I don't know how it works. I can't build a model of it for you. I can't display it for you here on the stage. All I can tell you is that when I'm reading the Word of God, He begins to lead and guide. It's a spiritual thing. And so, one of the ways that if you're dealing with fear or doubt like our friend Zacharias, understand this. You can overcome fear with faith. And yet, of all of the God's promises for his family, Zacharias chose fear over faith. Verse 18, Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this?" He was questioning Gabriel. Now, I don't recommend that. He's an archangel and he's got a flaming sword, okay? I'm going to order mine pretty soon. I can't wait. I'm a weapons guy anyway. And like I'm thinking, dude, what can a flaming sword do? And so I heard Cabela's is going to be stalking them and I'm going to put mine on order, my flaming sword. You know, I'd rather have that than a bow staff or anything like that. Flaming sword, right? So cool. Would you, you know, if an angel appeared to you, which I married one, but
10 points, just saying.
I found out if guys, if you say that, you get sandwiches. Amen? And the remote.
You know, the funny thing is I make horrible sandwiches, but I make a good dinner. But I don't make sandwiches very well.
So what were we talking about?
Flaming swords, Bob.
So, oh yeah. And so if, thanks, Holy Spirit. And so if, so an angel stands before you, would you question him? Like, dude, I don't know. You know, can there be some other demonstration of God's power? It's archangel, you know. And so here's Zach. How am I going to know this? Well, it's an angel standing in front of you on the day of your career, the height of your career, the pinnacle of your employment. Your lot's been drawn, you're offering incense. God is not only answering the prayers of your nation, but he's answering the prayers of your family. Zach, wake up. God's trying to speak to you, and he's doubting. He said, "For I am an old man. My wife is well advanced in years." In other words, Gabriel, I just can't see it, man. You know, I'm old. She's old. Not you. I'm talking about Elizabeth. In the context, it's Elizabeth. I'm feeble. She's feeble. I'm set in my ways. Doubt is the mortal enemy of faith. Verse 19, the angel answered and said to him, "Okay, well, I'm out of here." No, that's not what he said. He said, "I am Gabriel." And I almost wonder if the altar of incense began to shake when he said that. "I'm Gabriel," you know? And I kind of wonder if his feelings weren't rattling in his mouth when he heard that from the angel. "I stand in the presence of God." and I was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. It's good news I'm bringing you. But behold, you will be mute. You won't be able to speak in other words until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Guys, how much are we missing out on? In all that God has for us as families, as couples, because of doubt. Because we're not hearing the voice of the Lord. Doubt mutes our praise. When God does something great and we doubt it, we're unable to sing His praise. God will do this in your family. In other words, Gabriel is saying, not you. Relax, God's working, Zacharias. There isn't anything that you need to do in order for this to be fulfilled. Just receive it by faith. That's what the angel was saying.
What about you and I? What are the promises that God has given you as a couple? You know, all God's promises are yes and amen, aren't they? And we have a Bible filled with promises from the Lord to us as individuals and as couples. One of these moments for me about my marriage with Bob was even before I met him. And I was single, and I was seeking the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'd really turned my life over to the Lord, and I said, God, do you want me to get married, or do you want me to be single? What's your choice for my life? And the Lord gave me that scripture, and I didn't write it out verbatim, in Romans where it says, and how will they preach unless, how do I say that, Bob? You'll help me with this one.
I think I'll let you hang out.
Okay, thank you. You're going to let me hang out there?
It's fun to watch.
Okay, because I can't read this at all.
How will they hear unless one is sent?
Thank you. And how blessed are the feet of those who preach the glad tidings of good news. And I knew that I knew that I knew at that moment that God was going to call me and the person I was going to be with to teach the Word of God. And so it wasn't until about 10 years later into our marriage that Bob really got the call to become a pastor. But you know what, you guys? God had given me that promise so that I would have the faith when He came to me about it to say, God told me this. I know that that's what we're supposed to do. So that was a promise from the Lord that really took some time to be fulfilled, but was fulfilled. But there are lots of promises that God has given us in His Word for our marriage, for our lives, for our children. And we need to choose to believe them and walk in faith with them.
Just trust the Lord is what we're trying to say. In the same way that Zacharias found himself muted by his doubting and fear, when we choose not to hear the promises of God, and when we choose to doubt, when we go there, we no longer speak words of confidence to one another in our relationship in the home. Instead, when we're doubting, we speak words of defeat and worry and surrender. On this passage, Chuck Smith writes, it's interesting to me that we so often put such great emphasis on our faith that God will do a certain thing, as though God is almost impotent apart from man's faith to operate or to work. But here with Zacharias, the angel said, all right, you want a sign? You're not going to be able to speak until the day the child is born because you did not believe. Listening to the voice of the Lord in a marriage, first of all, begins with prayer at home. Number two, relationships here, like we like to highlight, we'd like to highlight the relationship between prayers and praise. Notice we look at Zach's questioning and we think, well, why aren't you praising the Lord at this moment? After all, It's such a gleaming moment in your life. You're there by the altar of incense. An angel has visited you. You've offered the incense. God is answering prayers. And you and I would probably ask Zacharias this question. Why aren't you praising the Lord at this moment? What's wrong with you? God's doing such a beautiful work in your family. You're going to have a son. His name's going to be John. This is what you've been praying for as a couple, right? We would ask him. Zach's ability to speak words of confidence and praise was muted by his doubting. On this passage, John Corson comments, Zacharias could have rejoiced. Instead, he questioned. That's what the thief of unbelief does. At a time when you and I could be celebrating, we could be rejoicing what God's doing, with folded arms and cynical hearts, we're robbed of praise.
How different, however, is Elizabeth's response to the news? So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." What if only one spouse, just asking this question, is hearing God's voice and trust the Lord? Because that happens, right? Guys, that happens. Elizabeth's job was to point her husband to the Lord, to remind him, as mute as he was at this point, that God is good, God is faithful, God is going to do a work, and God is in control. Isn't this great, Zach? Look at what God did for me. I am so blessed, so privileged and humbled that God has done this, she might have said. Even though the angel promised Zach joy and gladness and rejoicing over what God was going to do, fear and doubt had kept his mouth from proclaiming praise for what God was going to do. I do kind of have to stop there for a minute and think, as she's getting bigger and Zach's not able to really say anything but go, he really was an angel. He really told the truth and he can't talk. He's having to write it all on chalkboards and, you know. Your turn.
Speaking about praise, I heard about a pastor's wife who had come up to her husband after church one Sunday and thanked him for his encouraging sermon. He said, "Well, honey, thanking me really doesn't do much. Why don't you just praise the Lord for what I said?" And she said, "Well, I thought about that, but it really wasn't that good." We need to be able to speak words of encouragement to one another. Words that build each other up. That we, the Bible calls it edifying, but it's a fancy word for meaning that we encourage one another. And that we do speak those words that give that person confidence. I know that whenever Lori says something like, you know, "I know you can do it. Just get out there and tackle that thing. I know you can do it." Man, that just like empowers me. Doesn't that do it for you guys? When your wife is like that and she just says, "You know what, nobody else could do it. Good looking guy. You've been working out, you know?" And if a van load of ninjas pulls up next to us on the sidewalk, I know you can take them. Now get out there and mow that lawn. Amen? I mean, and you mow it and it looks nice. Question for you. We'd like to toss this question out to you and see if you can catch it. Thinking about your own marriage relationship today, as things start to wrap up and we're getting close to being dismissed, the question that we have for you is this. What's keeping your marriage in a place of fear and doubting? What is it, that one thing that you're struggling with in your marriage? I think about finances. You know, and I won't ask for a show of hands, but I would bet that most of us would raise our hand if I said, how's things going financially for you? You struggling a little bit? Most everybody would raise their hand, yeah. I remember when the recession hit in 2008, in September 2008 actually. I remember it happened in September, and then in November, Lori needed emergency surgery. And the insurance didn't cover it. And a few months later, I got a bill, and I'm the one that keeps the finances in the house. I get the bills. And $25,000 bill. And so I'm trying to figure out and work out with Seton Healthcare how we're going to pay this bill off, when in 2009, because of the recession, Lori wasn't able to work because of her surgery. And because of the recession, I was only bringing home half my pay. And so on paper, and for those of you who keep the checkbook, you'll probably relate to this. It has its own set of fears. Because you see the stack of bills that are due, and you see what's in your account, right? And you're like, this doesn't work. How am I going to do this? That's usually the first thing we say. Instead of saying, Lord, I know you're going to work this out. I'm doing all I can. I'm going to work every day. We're walking with you, Lord. We're giving. We're continuing to do all of those principles. And I'm going to trust you in this, Lord. How often do we say, I don't know what we're going to do? We panic and we call our bro on the phone and, you know, freak out, have a freak out. And it feels better to do that, you know. But, and I remember how, you know, I think in that moment, I was a little bit like Zacharias. Well, I don't know how this is going to work out. I mean, God, I see all of your promises. You're not going to let the righteous beg for bread. God, you're faithful. You're going to provide, Lord. And I could have trusted, but instead I was like Zacharias. What am I going to do? You know, I don't know what's going to happen. Our finances are too feeble. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. And I remember the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, in 10 months' time, with only bringing home half of the pay and Lori not working, we paid off half that debt. Now, I don't know how it worked. And it wasn't because I'm kind of some kind of financial genius. Most of you that know me well know that I'm not. But the Lord paid that off. And the Lord had said, when what you're owed in back salary equals what you owe Seton, I'm going to pay it off all at once. And I went, okay, Lord. And so that time came, and I was able to pay it off completely, all in one payment, and it felt so good writing that final payment off. And the point is that, you know, you might think that somehow Lori and I up here on the stage are different than you, or somehow we're at a different place in our walk with God. No, we got to trust God just like you do, with every dollar, with every kid we have, with every relationship we have, and with each other. I know what it's like to go through finances. Lori knows what it's like to go through, you know. If you think it's hard that you're the person with the checkbook, think of what it's like for the person that doesn't have the checkbook. They got to trust you and the Lord. Right? Isn't that scary?
You did a good job.
Principle number 3.
Oh, my turn. It's never too late to trust the Lord. Now, Elizabeth is full-time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, wait a minute, there's no one among your relatives who is called by this name.
So they made signs to his father what he would have called him, and he asked for a writing tablet. Now, I don't know if you have a sense of humor or not, but to me, I see humor in this. Like, he can't speak. He's mute. And they're like, dude, what do you want to do? You know, Elizabeth wants to call him John. What do you want? And he's like, he can't talk. Wait, let me text you. But I can see him pulling out his BlackBerry. Oh, wait, that didn't go through. Let me get the iPhone, you know. A writing tablet. Today we would text it. Back then they had a tablet. His name's John. Isn't that beautiful? You know, Zach came around to the place where he obeyed the voice of the Lord. When he saw what God was doing, his name was John. What's the result of walking with the Lord, of hearing the voice of the Lord, of obeying? Look at what happened to the people around Zacharias and Elizabeth. What does the Bible say there in the passage there in verse, at that last part of verse 63? They all marveled because he was able to talk. And his mouth was opened. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed and he spoke. And then what did he do? What's the Bible say?
Praise God.
He praised God. What's the result of faith in the Lord? Praise of God. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. I've got a son. His name's John. And he's beautiful, Lord. Like our friend Zach, sooner or later you're going to find out that God does exactly what he wants to do when he wants to do it, and you can trust him for that. Gabriel said they would have a son. The Bible says they had one. Gabriel said many would rejoice. We just read that they did. Gabriel said, call him John, and they obeyed. Gabriel promised that John would turn many to the Lord, and we know that he did. Of John, Jesus said, no greater prophet has ever lived. Awesome. Chuck Smith concludes, the things that God is doing, the things that God's going to perform, whether you believe it or not, God's going to do it. Your unbelief will not stop the work of God. It will not hinder the purposes of God. So many times our spouse will say, well, if you had just trusted the Lord a little bit more, if you just believed a little bit more, as though God's work is totally responsible upon my hanging in there and believing, and I feel so guilty because maybe I failed God and thus people are lost or whatever because I failed God, Chuck writes. No, God's purposes shall stand whether I believe them or not. You see, your believing or not believing really doesn't hinder the work of God at all. He's going to do what he's going to do in spite of us. That's the sort of comforting thing that I sense because I hate to think that God's work is dependent on my faithfulness. The question that Lori and I had for Zacharias and Elizabeth is this. What happened to them? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were living a godly life, the Bible says. They were experiencing the presence of the Lord. They had a successful marriage. We'll tell you what happened. Doubt and fear happened. And it kept one from hearing and believing and rejoicing, but the other simply trusted the Lord. The good news is this. Zacharias wasn't mute for long. And to me, that reminds me of God's grace. Mm-hmm. He's so faithful. When he agreed to call his son John like the angel commanded, his mouth was open, his tongue was loosed, and what came out? Praise. Mm-hmm. Worship of the Lord, the result of seeing God do a great work in their lives.
It's been said that two ears are better than one, and that is so true. A couple, both with ears towards the Lord, is a powerful witness and testimony to the world around us. Don't let fear of what happened ahead mute your praise. Doubt will mute your thanks. If your spouse is muted, don't badger them. Just be an example. In verse 65, we're told, then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him.
Isn't that a beautiful passage?